What's going on, everybody? It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wednesday edition of the show. As always, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. We got a special one for you today. So the Eagles take on the Jets tomorrow night in the preseason finale. A bunch of guys trying to make the roster as the Eagles bring it down from 90 players to 53. Me and Gino broke that down. We made our roster cuts on yesterday's edition of the show, so make sure you check that out on any podcast provider. Just tell Siri or Alexa to play Locked On Eagles, or you can check it out on LockedOnEagles.com. As for today, so with it being the last week of preseason, next week, the real games finally kick off. Games actually matter. Regular season football until January. I thought it'd be a fun time now, as we did last year, Gino, to give our regular season predictions as well as the playoffs and also some yearly awards on an individual standpoint. And I can't remember how we did last year, but it's always fun to like look back on these.
I had Green Bay making the playoffs. I remember that. Yeah. That was dreadful.
There's always a couple teams every single year that I'm, like, really into, and I'll get into some of them that I'm in this year. I feel like Carolina is, like, every other year I'm back on the, oh, is this the year Carolina gets back to the big dance kind of thing. So we'll get into our playoff predictions, our entire year predictions, as well as from an individual standpoint, you know, coach of the year, MVP, offensive and defensive rookie of the year, or one of me or Gino's my guy is going to take home those titles. We'll get into that later on in the show. But as for right now, our lead story of the day here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, a couple roster moves to get into. The Eagles have placed, not anything crazy, but the Eagles placed wide receiver Charles Johnson on injured reserve while signing undrafted free agent offensive tackle Riley Mayfield a day before the preseason finale. So, Gino, not a lot of crazy takeaways here, but I think it's one less guy fighting for that potential sixth and final wide receiver spot if they do keep one. And for Mayfield being signed, it probably means, you know, a guy like Jordan Mailata, who's battling an injury right now, won't play a whole lot, especially considering he's played most of the preseason.
Yeah, Mailata's definitely got that injury that's been lingering, and like I said on the last show, they're going to try and get these guys healthy. I mean, one nick to Jason Peters and you might have to toss Jordan Mailata or Andre Dillard into a game. So yeah, those guys have to be ready at any given moment. Yeah, Charles Johnson, a guy that battled for a roster spot, just couldn't get it done. It's such a competitive group there this year. And like we said, we've said time and time again, guys aren't just handed roster spots like the days of Doriel Green Beckham and Josh Huff. This right. is a competitive group, and there have been guys that have flashed. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Carlton Agadosi in a few weeks, and he's been a guy that has looked very good, a potential project that they might want to get onto the practice squad. It's just really played into his frame. I saw a tweet from somebody that said, Carlton Agadosi plays how Doriel Green Beckham should have played at his size, which yeah. I thought was pretty spot on. But yeah, it's a very competitive room there, and yeah, get him on the IR, and I'm sure they'll waive him with some sort of injury settlement to take care of him, because he's been a guy that's gone out there and competed for them for quite some time, so I'm sure they'll take care of him.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to, for that wide receiver spot now, Greg Ward Jr., Mark and Michelle. I've been pretty encouraged with what Agadosi has done throughout the preseason. He's made two incredible sideline catches that the refs didn't believe he made either time, and he ended up, you know, the Eagles won the challenge both times. So he has shown some good things in the preseason so far. I would also like to stash him away on the practice squad, but I think when it comes down to who the Eagles would seriously consider on the 53, if they're going to carry a six wide receiver, I think it's going to be Greg Ward Jr. or Mark and Michelle. And again, with Mayfield coming in here at tackle, it's just another body against the Jets. He's not going to have any real chance of making the roster. And for Mailata, he gets to rest more. And, Gino, I've been very encouraged with what I've seen from Mailata. I think there was a little bit of overreaction theater week one, but for the most part, for a guy that's been playing almost the entire game for 3 weeks now, in year two of being a football player, now at a new position, I've liked what I've seen from Mailata so far.
He's come out and performed very well. You look at him, there's still some lapses where his feet get away from his hands and vice versa, but that's going to happen. But he's looked very well. And playing from basically the start of the game last game, all game, he impressed me. And him and Matt Pryor, who we have not talked about enough, mostly because he's had some penalties that have kind of obscured his overall production, but he's looked very good as well. And yeah, like you said, that offensive line group is just locked down. They have their 10 guys that they're going to keep. And I saw Bo Wolf of The Athletic today put out his predictions, and he picked the exact 10 that we had. So I think we're pretty spot on with who they project to keep, what the reasons why, just because of the versatility with a lot of those young guys. And they have a good core back there. It's not the days of Matt Tobin, but they definitely have a very good depth in their offensive line.
All right, so that's your lead story for the day right here on Locked On Eagles. It's time now, coming up, to predict the 2019 NFL season, just a week away from the regular season kickoff. And actually, well, tomorrow's technically the actual week away from the start, as next Thursday we get Bears-Packers, as it's the first time in quite a while that the Super Bowl champion will not be playing in the Thursday night kickoff. So when we come back, me and Gino will get into our regular season standings, we'll get into our playoff picture, how the top six in both the AFC and the NFC pan out. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, this is Locked On Eagles, and guys, the NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will also be back. For the entire regular NFL season, you'll get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. We're brought to you today also by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. So you're going to need some tickets now getting to the games this year, maybe two on the road. I know I'm going on the road for a couple games. Vivid Seats, look, they help fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events. Doesn't even have to just be sports. It could be concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Rewards Loyalty Program, and they'll enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. We thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. And for our listeners, enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri, a Wednesday edition of the podcast, August 28th. It's time now to get into our season-long predictions, Gino. So I think how we'll do this is we'll kind of just we'll go 1 through 6 in the AFC and the NFC. I used a playoff – it's a really cool website. It's playoffpredictors.com, where I actually went – week by week. I had some time to kill before the show, so I went week by week to see where I thought the AFC would shape up, where the NFC would, and I think for the most part it lined up the way I thought. So, Gino, let's start in the NFC here, and we'll start in the NFC East. Any Cowboys fans that listen to us, which actually there are some that do listen to us, probably not going to be happy. I had them at 9-7, which isn't terrible, but I had them missing the playoffs here with the Eagles winning the division at 11-5.
I think Jerry Jones' comment today about wanting to get Zeke back for the playoffs is a kind of redundant or ass-backwards type statement, because if you look at the production that they've had without Zeke during the regular season, it doesn't bode well for them. So they should try and get him back as soon as possible. But yeah, that's exactly where I have them. I'm not as high on them as many people. Just I look at their offensive line. Yes, they're going to improve over last year, but I still don't think they are what they once were. Their defensive front, outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, they have no proven pass rushers. Their interior isn't the strongest in the league. Their linebacking core and their secondary, of course, speaks for itself, but 9-7 is right where I see them, and I think the Eagles are going to best them twice this year. I just got a feeling about it.
So I had the Eagles actually getting the 2 seed at 11-5. I was pretty surprised coming out of these predictions how even I had the NFC. I had 10 teams over 500, but a lot of them were in that, you know, there was only one team I had going over 12-4, and it was a surprise team, actually. And a lot of the other ones were 10-6, 9-7, 8-8. Gino, I think much like the AFC, on paper, at least heading into the regular season, you know, things always change. Not many people expected Jacksonville to be that terrible last year. Things will change, and teams you expect to be good won't be. But heading into this year, the NFL seems like it's got a lot of good teams on paper. There aren't many teams where you can say definitively, okay, that's a 3-13 football team.
This one was very difficult just going through it. I think a lot of divisions are just three teams deep. You look at the AFC South, I mean, even without Andrew Luck there, I think that's going to be arguably the most competitive division. Yeah. I think all those teams have a chance, to make the playoffs. The AFC West, you can't count out the Denver Broncos, even though you're going to look at the Chargers and the Chiefs to be powerhouses there. Denver has a solid defense. I like what they've done in compiling weapons on offense. Sutton has a year under his belt. Emmanuel Sanders is back healthy. You still have the two young backs there. I think that's good. There's a lot of divisions that are three teams deep. A lot of them are two teams deep, but still, you're going to see 7 to 9 teams worthy to make the playoffs in both of these conferences.
I think the one encouraging thing here in the NFC East for the Eagles is that I don't think Washington or New York are going to be very good. I had Washington at 4-12 and New York at 3-13, actually. So two really bad teams in the East that the Eagles might be able to get four easy wins off of. I mean, not easy because they're division rivals, especially like Washington's always given the Eagles trouble outside of really the past 2 years. But when they had Kirk Cousins back in the day, they always gave, and DeSean Jackson, they always gave the Eagles troubles. But I think that's the one thing that's good for the Eagles here. I had them going 5-1 in the division primarily because I don't believe in either Washington or New York this year at all.
Okay, so then what I think that if the Eagles got the one, it would come down to that last 5-week stretch where they play four games against
the division opponents. I think that's when they go on a tear.
Yeah, and because I said this earlier in this offseason, they have a chance to play four games in a row where they face either a rookie or a second-year quarterback, because they're going to play Miami with Rosen, who I'm assuming will be starting by then. Haskins could be starting, and so could Daniel Jones. So there's a chance that they sweep that entire series of games. That's four games on the back end when they're built to win games. This team is built for those months with the depth that they have, especially young teams that are going to be trying out talent. Those are the games you go in there and you poach out wins when you really need them. And I thoroughly believe that Philly has a chance to get the one. Not that I dislike the other teams. Like I think New Orleans is very close to them. I think Seattle is very close to them. But I think those divisions, they beat the living shit out of each other. Like the NFC South does, the NFC North does, and the NFC West does. I mean, the NFC East does, but to a lesser extent over the last couple of years. Like the Eagles have imposed their will over teams like Washington and the Giants, and it's just not been the same. But still, you still see those NFC West games that are just always bloodbaths. Same with the NFC South, and then the NFC North speaks for itself with the rivalries that they have. And I just think this is the Eagles, if they're going to take it this year with the strength of schedule outside of the division as well, I think this is the year that they got to go and try and get that one seed again.
It's funny that you say that about, like, this specifically the NFC South, because I only had one team out of the East in the playoffs this year, and that's the Eagles.
Same here.
But for the South, actually, Gino, I had all three: New Orleans, Atlanta, and I'm big on Carolina this year. I had all three teams at New Orleans wins the division here at 11-5. They're the 3 seed. The Falcons are the 5th seed at 10-6, and I have Carolina squeaking in as the 6th seed at 10-6, breaking a tiebreaker with Chicago.
I could see it, man. I can see that absolutely happening.
Look at Chicago's front side, Gino, on defense. Or, I'm sorry, Carolina's.
We talked about this a couple months ago. It's crazy.
Brian Burns, Gerald McCoy, Kaywon Short, Mario Addison, and Bruce Irvin with Luke Kuechly and Shaq Thompson. And Dontari Poe. You're Timmy Jernigan of that team. So with that, and if Cam Newton can stay healthy, which of course he's dealing with that foot injury right now, but Ron Rivera says he does expect him to play week one. I think DJ Moore takes a step this year. I love me some Curtis Samuel. Of course, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best weapons in football. It seems like, you know, every other year I'm back in on Carolina, and this is the year I'm back on the bandwagon again. And last year, too, they were 6-2 before Cam Newton got hurt. So it's not like this team has been – I mean, they've been pretty consistent over the past, I would say, 5 years. I mean, they were a playoff team 2 years ago, and they were on pace for that again last year if Cam Newton doesn't get injured. So I have all three teams getting out. Even Atlanta, you look at injuries, kind of derailed their season last year. They lost Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. So I got all three in there. And I like me some Chicago, but they lose on a tiebreaker here at 10-6 to Carolina.
Ooh, you like Chicago a lot more than I do. But
David Montgomery, man.
Yeah, Carolina was that toss-up team. I think they fall just outside of it just because Cam Newton isn't going to play 16 games. I could see him playing like 13 games. Yeah, I just don't see him making a full season. I think that's really going to hurt him. But yeah, like you said, I have Atlanta jumping up in there, and I have New Orleans as my 2. I have Atlanta as the 5. I think they're going to have a very strong season. You talk about Carolina's front 4. I think Atlanta has a very good front 4 in their own as well. They have great weapons at the back that went out, unfortunately, against the Eagles in that first game last year, which killed them, like Keanu Neal. But yeah, I think that division is a toss-up. Outside of New Orleans, I think you could flip-flop Carolina and Atlanta to make the playoffs, but I think Atlanta, I don't believe they're going to have as many injuries as they had last year. That's a tough record to sustain how bad they were injured last year. So I think they are much improved on offense, much improved on defense, and squeak in there with that first wild card spot.
Yeah, so I have the South grabbing both wild card spots, so which means in the North, I have Chicago missing at 10-6. And look, Minnesota, I have loved their roster really since they started rebuilding this thing in 2013, 2014. Every single year, it was like they were taking a lot of my guys with their draft classes. But when Kirk Cousins is your quarterback and he did exactly what everybody thought he was going to do last year and blow it for a team that was on the fringe. They thought Kirk Cousins was supposed to be the last piece from going from the NFC Championship to the Super Bowl, and in fact, they ended up missing the playoffs instead. And I, again, love the roster, love Dalvin Cook, Diggs, and Thielen as your big three weapons-wise, but with Kirk Cousins only having 5 wins over his career against 500 teams or above, and that terrible offensive line, with Chicago and Green Bay being good in that division, I have them at like 8-8, you know, and surprisingly, I had Green Bay as the one seed at 13-3.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I absolutely can.
I love their. I don't know. I think LaFleur is their head coach. He just he never had an opportunity to show what he could do last year as an OC in Tennessee because Mariota was just never healthy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you know how big of a fan I am of all their defensive backs that they have there.
Yeah, exactly.
They have Jair Alexander, Kevin King, Jackson,
Darnell Savage.
They just bring in Adrian Amos. Like, that's unbelievable that they steal him away from Chicago. And I think that move has gotten me and Chicago Bears fans going head-to-head on Twitter arguing that, Clinton Dix is going to be the downfall of their defense, and they just don't believe me. And, man, I studied him, and I watched him play last year, and I studied his 2017 tape, and let's just say he didn't look good in 17. And he didn't improve in 2018, so I can only imagine what happens in 2019. That's a big loss for the Chicago Bears. They still have Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback. I see them being like an 8-8 team this year. They're not going to sustain the success that they had of their defense last year. This year, to win as many games as they did prior, Green Bay has all the makings to have that elite defense. Aaron Rodgers is bound to get back on track. Their offensive line is finally going to be healthy. They have weapons there.
They got to use Aaron Jones. Like, if they use Aaron Jones too, the way they did down the stretch last year, that's a huge plus.
That was going to be my last point. Now you have a coach that is going to use them the correct way. Let Devontae Adams just be one-on-one all game long and just be man-beating cover corners all game long, and then let everything else open up for everybody else because they have weapons in Vontaze Scantling. Jimmy Graham, I believe, is going to bounce back and have a good year. And who's the tight end that they drafted? Why can't I think of his name? But the kid, I think he's out of Ole Miss. No, Dawson Knox was out of Ole Miss, and he went to Buffalo, but I can't think of it. But Sternberger, Jay Sternberger out of A&M. He's a nice addition for them, a very good route-running tight end. I'm right there with you, Lou. I believe that Green Bay could get the one seed, but the NFC North, like, on any given day, the Detroit Lions can beat the Green Bay Packers. So for that reason, I gave them the 4. I think it's going to be a very competitive division. I think Minnesota could be like a 9-17 and just fall 9-7 team and just fall outside of the playoffs. Chicago be like an 8-8 team, and then Green Bay be 10-6 and fall into that 4 seed. But I think Green Bay, they're bound to make the playoffs. They've been outside of it too long for having as good of a roster as they do.
Yeah, it's fun. With the AFC, I think it's very even, but I think it's more so like a tier lower than how close these other NFC teams are. So like the AFC, it's a bunch of teams fighting each other, but it's fighting for like the wild card. They're very wild card-esque teams, whereas the NFC, you look at the Eagles and the Packers and the Bears and even like the Vikings' strength of roster-wise. You look at every team in the NFC South not named Tampa Bay, and you move to the West with the Rams still. It's like the NFC has the juggernauts for sure. So that's why it was hard to, like, you're looking at the West, I only had one team coming out with the Rams at 10-6 as the 4 seed, but San Fran, I had them at 8-8, and I like San Fran. I mean, you look at their defense, we keep talking about front fours.
Yeah, right.
Bosa, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Arik Armstead, and D Ford, who they got over from Kansas City. With all the weapons that Jimmy Garoppolo seemingly has now with Debo and Dante Pettis, and I love me some Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon with that Shanahan offense, I could argue San Fran can make it too.
You kind of sold me there a little bit on San Fran, but I'm not going to fall in the Jimmy Garoppolo trap.
That's
until
the problem
he
is. I don't believe in him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback you win because of. I feel like he's going to fall into that Jared Goff range. I feel like he's going to win some games for them. I can see that, but he's a guy that's going to be, how far can Shanahan's system take him? Can his offensive weapons be healthy? Can Jerick McKinnon, can Tevin Coleman, can those guys take them as far as Shanahan called offense is going to take them? The front four, I believe, will win them some games too, because that is just too elite of players across that entire line to not go out there and have some game-breaking moments from guys like Bosa, Buckner. The list goes on and on. You already said it. But out in the West, I like a lot of those teams. I think the Rams are still going to be there. I have them in as my sixth seed because I believe Seattle, this is the year, man. They just, like, they're going to get it all together. I believe they end up with Clowney. I just have a feeling because I don't think Philly really needs him as much as people may want him to. Seattle really does. I could see them falling in at that three seed and having like a 12-4, 11-5 record and Russ just being Russ again. And
really?
I think so, man. I they're going to get back to that run game. Lockett is going to do big things. They're not going to have to worry about Bolt Alden being there. They're going to game plan around Tyler Lockett. DK, he's going to get healthy eventually. I like that team more than a lot of people do. I think they're going to inevitably end up with Jadeveon Clowney, and I think that's what puts them in as the three seed, because losing Frank Clark is not great. We're not going to beat around the bush, but I don't love what the Rams have right now. Losing Ndamukong Suh is going to really hurt Aaron Donald, I believe. Their linebacking core isn't the greatest. Their secondary, they still have Aqib Talib there. Their offense is still Jared Goff-led. If you had to give me Russell Wilson or Jared Goff to win that Sunday night game, week 17, to take the division, give me Russell Wilson, because it could come down to that, in all honesty.
Yeah, I really like Russell Wilson. I like Lockett and I like Metcalf. But if they don't get Clowney, for me, Collier's hurt. Jaron Reed is suspended. Outside of Bobby Wagner, I don't know.
Ansah is like their only hope right
now.
Yeah,
that's why it's just.
I'm hedging a lot on this Jadeveon Clowney move.
Yeah,
like that,
sure.
I'm putting a lot of eggs in that basket.
Like, I don't have them being terrible, but I do have them at like 7-9 just because they've lost a lot of talent over the past few years. And it's also,
I just can't see Russ not having a winning season.
Yeah,
like, it just doesn't happen.
I know,
until he proves me wrong.
But I'm gonna go step out on a ledge and say that I think that might be the way it goes. So here, let's go with our top six before we move to the AFC. So I went Green Bay, Philadelphia, New Orleans, and then the Rams at the 4 seed, and then the 5 and 6 are Atlanta and Carolina.
I went Philly 1, New Orleans 2, Seattle 3, Green Bay 4, Atlanta 5, and the Rams 6. And if that's the case, that quarterback class in the NFC would be absolutely unbelievable. And if Carson goes on to win the Super Bowl against that class, just chalk him up as one of the best in this era right now. Like,
well,
there's
yeah,
no other way around it. Because you'd have to go out, you'd have to get past Breeze, you'd have to get past Wilson, you'd have to bypass Matt Ryan again, you'd have to beat Rodgers, and then Goff. That's just always a rivalry. So that's a hell of a stable to have to go out there and compete against.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big differences when I was just comparing the NFC and AFC is quarterbacks with the NFC is you got to go through Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Jared Goff, Russell
and that's why
Wilson,
you look at
Aaron
them as juggernauts is because of those
right.
names.
Fair.
It's because they can take you over the edge as opposed to a Baker Mayfield right now, you know?
Yeah, because the AFC has similar strong rosters, but they all have a bunch of young quarterbacks they're hoping can take them to the next level of these other NFC teams. And with that being said, before we take a break, let's get into the AFC here, Gino. This one was a little bit, it was tough too. I mean, I think the Chiefs and the Patriots are clearly the cream of the crop, and I would also put the Chargers in that category. But the problem is, both them and Kansas City being in the AFC West, only one can come out as a top four seed. So the Chargers, to me, have that fifth, unless they win the division, the Chiefs or Chargers have that fifth spot set in stone. Yep. And then with the sixth spot, it's like, all right, whoever doesn't win the AFC South, the other three teams battling, you got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. You mentioned Denver. I could make the argument, even though I don't want to, that Cincinnati could find a way in it. So I feel like it's just going to be, I don't know, six or seven teams fighting for maybe one spot.
That's exactly how I looked at it. I think we both can agree. Did you go KC 1 and then New England 2?
I did, yep.
Okay, so we have that squared away. All right, let's start with probably the one division that I think we may vary a lot, mm-hmm. and that's the AFC North.
You're probably right.
So, who did you go with here?
I went with Baltimore at 11-5.
Oh, see? I didn't even have them in there. I like what they have on offense, but I don't love what happened to their pass rush. I mean, losing Za'Darius Smith, losing Terrell Suggs, that hurts. They really didn't do enough to replace them. I like their secondary, of course. I mean, you have Earl Thomas, and you're bringing them in with Jimmy Smith there, and you have Marlon Humphrey as well. That's a very formidable.
Their secondary is really good.
Yeah, but I think it's going to hurt a lot to lose a guy like Za'Darius Smith and your heart and soul in Terrell Suggs. That's just a Baltimore Ravens team that has won on defense and is going to need to win a lot on defense because Lamar Jackson is going to put a very catchable ball out there and turn it over quite some because that's just the player
See,
that
that's
is.
Where we disagree. I have Lamar taking a massive
No, I believe he will, but he's still going to turn the ball over. Like, there's no getting around that.
The thing, too, with me on offense for Baltimore is I think they're going to take the next step this year where last year Harbaugh's fighting for his job, so they use Lamar basically as a running back playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. He only played seven games, and the guy nearly ran for 700 yards. Like, he was almost averaging 100 rushing yards a game. For me this year with Greg Roman's system, with Hollywood Brown there, Mark Ingram, Justice Hill, and finally trying to develop Lamar as a quarterback because now they have their jobs secured, that to me is going to allow him to take or have a really good chance at taking that second year leap we've seen Mahomes take. We've seen Carson Wentz take. And there's other guys. Trubisky at a lower level for sure. Mariota took that second year leap in 2016. Like, you see it a lot where that rookie quarterback the next year, when they start surrounding him with quarterback-friendly coaches and weapons, they take that leap. So for me, that's the, I'm big on Lamar this year.
No, I'm with you. I like their offense. I all those points that you said are great. I think Mark Ingram is one of the most under-talked about pickups in the entire league. He's going to be a guy that you could
huge upgrade over Gus Edwards.
Oh yeah, and Buck Allen, like, without a doubt, that's exactly what you wanted to do to that Ravens backfield. But you look around that division; Pittsburgh is still Pittsburgh.
Like, I have them in it still.
Yeah, I have them winning that division, and then I have Cleveland as the sixth seed.
Okay.
The reason why, hear me out. I like all the points you said about Baltimore. I think you can make the same points for Cleveland on offense.
That's
bringing
right.
in weapons for him. You bring in Odell Beckham. You have those other weapons and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and everybody else that you have there. But the spot that Cleveland absolutely dominates over Baltimore is the front four.
Yeah,
Cleveland's
for sure.
front four is bananas. It's without a doubt, miles and away, the best front four in that division. Without a doubt. Pittsburgh's pass rush is just, it's middle of the pack. It always has been. Baltimore's is going to decrease without Za'Darius Smith. And then Cincinnati's Cincinnati. But man, you have Myles Garrett. You have Ogunjobi. You have, they just brought in Olivier Vernon. The list goes on and on. I think that is going to take them over the edge because, yes, you have Baker Mayfield, who should have that second-year improvement, like you said, to Lamar Jackson and all those other guys that you mentioned, but so should that defense, man. Like, that's a second year in this system. They got guys that can get after the ball, get after the quarterback. It reminds me a lot of the Eagles front four, in all honesty. I mean, they don't have an elite pass rusher like a Myles Garrett, but you still have fastballs in the middle. You have guys that can get after it off the edge. It's a very deep core up front. I think that's just going to take them over the edge. And that was a lot of the decisions that I made was based off of who's going to win a lot of these games in the trenches. These games, these divisional games where you're going to be playing Baltimore week 15 or 16.
Right.
Who's going to come out on top? And I just think the team with the better pass rush is inevitably going to come out on top. And we saw the Eagles do that the last couple seasons. You see the Rams go out, they get Dante Fowler, that really makes an improvement for them, and that's what wins those games late in the season, is who's going to get after the quarterback more. And if you're going to have Marlon Humphrey playing one-on-one coverage, yeah, he's a good corner, but it's only so much he could do without having a guy getting to the quarterback within 3 seconds.
Yeah, so it seems like we both agree. Like, I have Pittsburgh in. They only lost out on the division by one game at 10-6. Mm-hmm. They're the sixth seed. I had them just narrowly beating out Tennessee at 9-7. The Buffalo and the Jets were kind of in there around 7-9 and 8-8, and Houston was also kind of close at 7-9. I think in the North, though, yeah, where we decipher seemingly is Cleveland versus Baltimore, and Cleveland mm-hmm. they have more talent around the roster, where I think I put Baltimore ahead as I am predicting a bigger leap forward for Lamar than Baker.
And you have more stability there with your coaching. They've been to the playoffs before. They were there last year.
Because Cleveland's starting lineup on both sides, I don't think they have a guy over the age of 30, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, I mean, it's going to be very close, but I do see where you're coming from. I had Cleveland right there at 8-8. So let's hear before, because we got to hit a break. We can get into our final predictions and our yearly awards. Let's go through 1 through 6. So we both agreed Kansas City and New England 1-2. My 3 was Baltimore. My 4 was Jacksonville. I think Nick Foles is the difference with you add Josh Allen on that front 7 in Jacksonville. I like the Jaguars a lot this year. They're the 4, and then the 2 wild card teams, the Chargers have that 5th in stone, and then Pittsburgh at 6. I just think they're too good to keep out of the playoffs. So that's my top 6.
Yeah, I went KC 1, New England 2, as we already mentioned, Pittsburgh 3. I just think they find a way to win that division again. Yeah. As long as Big Ben's there, they're going to be right there. Number 4 at Jacksonville, I believe that they come out once again with a dominant front 4 and overtake that division. I think they have more all around the ball than Houston does. Deshaun Watson's really going to struggle with no offensive line. Losing Andrew Luck isn't great. It's not great for my wallet. I had a 16-1 future on the Indianapolis Colts to win the Super Bowl, which was looking real good until he retired. But they still have a good roster. I think they can fall in around 7-9. Brissett's going to he's going to have some hiccups for sure. But number 5, I went Chargers, of course. I think we both agree that whoever comes out of the West is going to have that first wild card spot. And then number 6, I went Cleveland.
It just sucks that the Chargers lost Derwin James. You know?
Yeah, man, tell me about it. He's arguably my favorite player in the league.
Yeah, so, I mean, but hey, your boy Nazir Adderley's got to step up. So there is our top 6 in the AFC and the NFC. We're going to take a quick break, a little longer edition of the show today because we got our yearly predictions right here on Locked On Eagles. When we come back, we'll get into our playoff predictions, and then we'll wrap it up with some yearly awards. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, we are back wrapping up this Wednesday edition of the show. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun going back and forth here with Gino as we predict the NFC and AFC for the 2019 NFL season. So, Gino, here, so I did a so the bracket kind of rounded out, and it's very hard. I don't want to come off as a fanboy, but when the Eagles roster is as talented as it is, it's hard to keep them out of going deep into the playoffs, especially considering last year they did it with one of the worst injury-riddled seasons you've ever seen. And at the 2 seed, I have them getting a bye week. So Carolina, my conference championships are very, very different, I'll say. So I have the Panthers at the 6 seed getting all the way to the NFC title. I have them beating the Saints in the first round.
Yeah.
I have them beating Green Bay in Lambeau.
They're going to go into the dome and beat the Saints in the playoffs.
I think they go through one of the hardest road challenges ever.
No
and then,
way.
Though, but then it falls short because I think the Eagles do get to Miami this year. I think the Rams beat the Falcons in the first round. Philly takes down L.A. It's the Wentz revenge game to the unfinished business. I mean, you couldn't write it better, really, if this is the way it works out. And then I do have Philadelphia beating Carolina in an NFC championship rematch from 2003. So, yeah, I know. I know the Carolina thing's bold. They go into the Superdome, and they take down the Saints, and then they go to Lambeau. They beat two of the most difficult teams to beat on the road. But it's every other year, Gino. I can't help it. I love me some Carolina this year. I do. So I think they get all the way to the NFC title.
That's fair. We separate a little bit. So first round, I got the Saints going out there. What am I talking about? The Saints are going to have a bye. Sorry
right.
about this.
Right.
I have chicken scratch handwriting. If anybody looked at this, you would think a 3-year-old wrote it. But the 4-5 seed, I had Green Bay going out there beating Atlanta. I think they're going to have redemption for that embarrassment of a couple years ago in the NFC Championship game. Seattle and the Rams, I have Seattle taking that one. I think that they're going to split the season series, and then their grudge match is going to be won by Seattle. Then in the second round, I have Philly playing Green Bay. I believe Green Bay is going to best them in Lambeau during the season, and then they're going to come to the East Coast, and the Link is going to be rocking, and they're going to go out there, and Carson is going to have a very good performance against Aaron Rodgers and beat them to go to the NFC Championship game against Seattle, where they are going to beat the Saints.
So we're both really big on two teams that I don't think a lot of people have going deep into January.
No, and that's always how the NFC works. It's just you have one team that's dominant, and then just a wild card. Just throw it out there. Who's going to be the next team up? I mean, look at Green Bay a couple years ago. Did anybody expect them to get to that NFC championship? Not I. You look back to 2009 when the Eagles made it or 2008 when they made it against Arizona. I didn't believe they were going to get there, but they did. It's always a toss-up, but I firmly believe Philly. It's just they have the team this year, Lou. We talk about if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I think this is the year. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. With or without the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, whoever you want to talk about it. But, man, they have it, and I believe Seattle is going to come back to the East Coast, and we're going to beat them twice in one season, and we're going to kind of just put that to bed about the nightmares that we had against Seattle in the past.
I was going to say, I hope, because they've kicked the Eagles behind.
I would love to beat Seattle twice a year. I think that would be great.
Well, then, luckily, the good thing with your scenario here is they finally have to come to the Link. I mean, playing in Seattle, no matter what their roster is so damn hard. It's such a hard road trip going to the West Coast and taking on Seattle with the 12th man. So we both have Philly in the Super Bowl, but when you look at the AFC here, they're going to have a challenge for sure. Look, it could either be a rematch with New England. It could be a team like Kansas City, which just reminds me of, like, to make a monster reference here, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, if you will, where it's just let the two monsters with six weapons just go at it in a hopefully like a replica of the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl where you have over 1,000 yards of offense. That is what I have because I have Kansas City. They get through. So the Chargers beat the Jaguars in the first round. On the road, the Steelers lose in Baltimore to the Ravens. So my second round here was Chiefs, Chargers, and Patriots, Ravens. So I have the Chiefs getting back to the AFC title, so it's going to run through Arrowhead again. But I have, again, Gina, I'm going to stick with the teams I believe in. I think for the first time in a while, New England will not be in the AFC Conference Championship. It's going to be Baltimore, Kansas City, Mahomes versus Lamar, the rematch from last year, which was a great game. Lamar threw a touchdown to take the lead with a couple minutes left before Mahomes went just ballistic and won that football game. And I got Kansas City getting to the big dance, but I got Kansas City, Baltimore. So I did not expect it heading into these predictions, but I have the Ravens and the Panthers going one game away from making the Super Bowl. It's two teams that I'm big on this year for sure.
It's a take. It's bold. It's bold to say the least. But hey, I like it. You backed up your points. I can't argue against anything you said. I think you made very valid points all the way around. Not just like you're spewing nonsense.
Right.
But I can't see Baltimore just beating Pittsburgh, and I think you just have the two routes that you said. I just think are just like super impossible. I just think like going into your division rival's home for both Baltimore and Carolina on the road would – wait, did you say Baltimore won that division? So they would be at home.
Yeah, so they actually get the home game
against
Pittsburgh. Which
but
is
still, to beat
difference.
A division rival in the first round of the playoffs is never easy. But, yeah, I see where you're coming from. It can absolutely happen. Like you said, it's a toss-up. But
Kansas City's just too good, man, to – I mean, you look at it. You had Frank Clark, which is a big upgrade over D Ford, if you ask me. You get the Honey Badger at safety now, and also Juan Thornhill back there too, with Mecole Hardman now to go along with.
It's disgusting.
I mean, and also Darwin Thompson, like, we talk about him all the time, but now he's already upended Carlos Hyde as the RB2, and it won't be long, if you ask me, that he's going to take over Damian Williams' spot. So they just – Mahomes has as many weapons as Wentz, as Breeze, as Rivers, or Jared Goff. I mean, they have a – Andy Reid's – I don't think he's ever had this much depth when it comes to skill positions on offense.
All right, so I have to counter that now. I have in the first round, I have – Pittsburgh going out there, they're going to beat Cleveland. Cleveland just not experienced enough yet in the playoffs. Their first year, they're going to get there. They'll put up a fight, but I believe Pittsburgh will take that game. Chargers and Jags in Jacksonville. I believe the Chargers go on the road, win that game. Then the following week, New England and Pittsburgh. I have New England besting them, going to the championship game. Just all chalk right there so far. Then in the other game, I have Kansas City and the Chargers. And I believe the Chargers go into Arrowhead and beat Andy Reid.
Hey, they did
and
it last
Andy
year.
Andy Reid
season.
Is inevitably fired after that game because he has not won a Super Bowl with that team.
That would be it. Oh my gosh! Wow, that would be nuts.
I mean, how long are they going to take Andy Reid not winning a Super Bowl? Like, yeah. Think about it.
It would be bold.
I mean, I could see it without a doubt happening. It could happen. It's the NFL, man. Like, shit happens every day that makes me scratch my head. But I think it's going to be a wild game regardless. I think the Chargers have what it takes to match up against Kansas City. Like, you mentioned all those names. They have guys on the other side of the ball that can match up against them. Derwin James is going to be back just in time for the playoffs. He's going to be healthy.
Yeah,
he's not
right.
going to be banged up. He's going to be fresh legs being in there for the playoffs with Nasir Adderley. They're finally going to have this defensive unit that has the pass rush both on the interior and the exterior. You go out and get Jerry Tillery. I just think they finally have enough to get it done with Phillip Rivers there. I believe that defense, if they are healthy, can take them all the way to the Super Bowl where they're going to play the Philadelphia Eagles, where they're going to go into Foxborough, win on the road again, so three straight road games, and then inevitably lose in the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles.
So you have the Eagles winning it all. I don't. I think they lose in Miami, which would be such a hard
to Kansas City.
To Kansas. I think Reed takes down, I think it's Obi-Wan beats Anakin, if you will, and the Chiefs, and like this would be, like, we thought Eagles Patriots was fun. Wentz against Mahomes here going at it would be such a fun game, even just as an NFL fan in general. I do think, though, I think this is Kansas City's year.
Yeah, and I was totally joking about the Andy Reid take. Like, if anybody thought they're firing Andy Reid after the performance that he's put on the last couple years, April Fools, I know it's a little late, but I got
gotcha.
You.
Where that is, like, I don't know. I mean, teams have done it before where they've been winning. John Fox, you look at with Denver, where the guy made a Super Bowl, and just a couple years later, they go to Gary Kubiak. So, that has happened before where they do, despite winning, they go in a different direction.
It's not out of the realm of the NFL. But, yeah, I haven't – Andy Reid just – he has a monkey on his back that I don't think is ever going to get off of him. Like, Mahomes has too much against him this season as much as he has for him, you know. Like, he has all this pressure on him now to be the best quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You have Andy Reid who has this team to perform under pressure. When has he ever done great with that outside of the 2005 Eagles, you know? Like,
yeah.
With Terrell Owens, they had all this pressure in those NFC Championship games, and they just faltered. They had the pressure in the Super Bowl. They faltered again. It's just like, when is he going to get it done? And I Belichick always bests him, and I think Phillip Rivers has to best him at some point. I don't know. I see Reed struggling to get there again. I don't know why. I just don't. I think Mahomes is going to have a very good season. Yes, of course. They add my favorite guy on offense in the draft outside of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Mecole Hardman, your boy Darwin Thompson, with Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, with Sammy Watkins. Like, that's a hell of a team. But the Chargers have a hell of a team as well. New England is still New England. It's just, who's going to get it done in those months of December and January? And it's always a toss-up. I'm probably going to be eating my words come this time in January. But, hey, I'm taking a risk saying that the Chargers are going to get there. It's the team that I had outside of Indy that was my toss-up until Andrew Luck inevitably retired.
Yeah, it is something that is real with Andy Reid. But maybe the difference is Mahomes isn't McNabb. Like, he'll rise to the challenge. Reid has never had, I think, whenever he had the great defense, he never had the weapons. And then when he finally got the weapons, he didn't have the defense, right? You look at, 2008, 2009, they finally get DeShaun Jackson, Jeremy Macklin, LeSean McCoy, and then you lose Brian Dawkins and you know, your secondary kind of, you lose Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard, and the defense wasn't there. So I think this year Reed finally does have the most complete team that he's ever had. And that's why, actually, when we're getting now into our yearly awards before we wrap up today's edition of the podcast, I think Andy Reid wins Coach of the Year for the first time since 2002. I think it's never, it's funny. I feel like Coach of the Year is just Coach of the Year, not named Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick hasn't won the award since 2010, which is crazy to me that for a decade now, he has not been considered the Coach of the Year. It's always, I think, the top story. So I think that'll be Kansas City. So let's do that, Gino, now before we wrap up. We'll start with Coach of the Year. We'll go MVP, get into our Offensive and Defensive Player of the Years, and then our rookies. I think with the Chiefs winning it all, I think they're going to be a regular season powerhouse, and I think Andy Reid gets Coach of the Year.
Yeah, regular season powerhouse. That's the stamp of Andy Reid's career.
Which would win him the award.
You should brand that on his body, because that's what it is. Yeah, he's a regular season powerhouse. I'm right there with you. I think Mahomes can probably have a chance to win back-to-back MVPs, but Andy Reid, he's going to coach the hell out of that team. He has all the weapons and great minds in that building to get it done and have another unbelievable year.
So I said Lamar Jackson was going to take a leap, and I didn't really go extensively how big of a leap he's going to take. A few years ago,
he's going to win the freaking MVP. I am quitting this podcast.
A few years ago, Gino, a sophomore quarterback at Louisville, was heading in with some expectations, but not much. And I was asked on the radio up here in Buffalo, New York, who a dark horse candidate to win Heisman should be. And I said Lamar Jackson. And lo and behold, he ends up winning the Heisman. And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go for two crazy bold Lamar Jackson takes. We saw it in 2010. A guy as explosive as Lamar Jackson put it together with his arm, with the weapons he had. It was Michael Vick with the Philadelphia Eagles. While it was only for 1 year, we saw a player do it and break the league. I think that's going to happen this year. I really do. Maybe some people, look, the more realistic path is it maybe happens 2 years down the road or three. I think you look at Wentz 2017, Mahomes last year 2018. It keeps seemingly this trend now, or at least over just the past few years, and even Cam Newton in 2015, an unexpected young quarterback goes off and becomes the dominating factor of the league. And if I had to put my money on who that would be this year, I'm doing it with Lamar Jackson. He wins MVP. He brings the Ravens to the conference championship. And also, Offensive Player of the Year always is whoever won MVP. So I think Lamar takes both awards home. I know I'm going bold with a lot of these predictions, but I don't think they're just ludicrous where I'm pulling them out of thin air. The MVP one is maybe a stretch, but I look at Wentz in 2017. He should have won it. I look at Mahomes winning it last year. If I'm going to predict someone to do that again in 2019, and I am, I think it's Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Gino has just left the building.
I am befuddled. I'm confused. I don't know what to say.
So was everybody when I picked him to win Heisman, man. So was everybody, man, back then. And that was in July. Ooh. That was in July. No one, I'll never have a better take like that again.
With a Harbaugh offense, I don't know. It's going to be
tough. I think
Greg
Roman's going to finish what he started in San Fran with Kaepernick.
That's wild. That's a wild take.
Your MVP has got to be a little less bold, I'm sure.
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I really like LaFleur.
I can see that for sure.
I think Davante Adams is arguably a top three receiver. He's my favorite route running receiver. Valdez Scantling is due for an improvement with the defense that they have there. I like them to go out there and win a lot more games, which will look better for Aaron Rodgers. And he's due for a freak season. It's just bound to happen. And I believe that this is the year. And he gets it done in that LaFleur system. I don't believe I was up in the air saying, should Matt LaFleur win Coach of the Year? But
ooh, okay.
It could happen if he leads that team to like a one seed, like you said.
Yeah.
I thoroughly believe that. But like you said, Andy Reid, he's due to have another offensive powerhouse season and be a regular season champ in Kansas City and win that award. But LaFleur is right there,
yeah,
right with Doug Peterson and Belichick as well. But
yeah, I wish
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
I wish Peterson would finally get that recognition and win Coach of the Year this year when he should have won it over Sean McVay a couple of years ago. But it does seem like they do like to go with the flashy new story a lot of the time. So LaFleur, you know, you saw Matt Nagy do it last year with Chicago. He wins Coach of the Year. And I could see LaFleur being the Matt Nagy of 2019. So let's move on here to Defensive Player of the Year. I don't want to say it's bold, really, because I feel like Aaron Donald is not going to mimic that 20-sack season last year. Like you said before the show, they don't have an Adonikin Sue anymore when I was running this by you. And, yeah, J.J. Watt, 16 sacks last year. I mean, pass rushers are favorites to win it a whole lot. Linebackers, too. And I'm thinking of a defensive end. I think with continuing this trend of Kansas City really being the year of the Chiefs, you bring in Frank Clark over. Yeah, you have Chris Jones right next to him, much like Aaron Donald had Sue next to him. Chris Jones last year had 15 and a half sacks, which is, I don't think anybody even realized that, because I think Chris Jones is just super underrated. I mean, he's a defensive tackle in Kansas City. But I think Frank Clark wins Defensive Player of the Year this year. He had 13 sacks last year in Seattle. You add Jones next to him, I think he could lead the league in sacks this year and take home the award.
That's not a bad take. I had another Chief in mind, Tyrann Mathieu, but I'm not going to select him. I inevitably went with Bosa. Chargers Bosa, not
Joey
the rookie.
Bosa. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Kept you on the edge of your seat. Yeah, Joey Bosa. With adding Tillery, with having Ingram there.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Bosa, he's going to be all sorts of freed up to get to the quarterback. I think he can have a 20-sack season himself there. Adding Tillery is going to be huge for them because they didn't have much interior pressure last year. Just look at that New England game. Tom Brady was able to stand in the pocket all game long and just dominate them because they couldn't get pressure from the interior. They knew Ingram and Bosa were coming off the edge, and they just shut edge pressure down, which really doesn't even get to Brady, and they just dominated them that entire game. But now you bring in Tillery, a guy that can – he has an unbelievable first step. Looks even better in the NFL now than he did on tape for Notre Dame. Bosa is going to reap the rewards from that, man. They're going to have a good season there out in L.A.
All right. I like that. And, God, the Chargers. We talked about their safeties. their defensive line, too, is just going to be
stupid, dude.
Unreal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's the Chargers.
I would love to have two elite pass rushers like Ingram and Bosa. Seriously. That would just be,
And we both really like Tillery coming out of Notre Dame, too. And speaking of rookies, let's get to our offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Running backs have a very easy path to do this. I think it's one of the easiest positions to translate to from college to the NFL level. And I think opportunity, too. There's more opportunities to showcase what you can do as receivers. They take a little longer a lot of the time, unless you're the 2014 draft class. So quarterbacks can be a two. I don't think Kyler Murray wins it this year, to be honest. Offensive rookie of the year, I'll go with another my guy. And I think Josh Jacobs in Oakland he doesn't barely have anybody behind him at running back. John Gruden and Mike Mack wanted him to be one of the faces of their offense. And I think this offense could run through Jacobs. As, you know, with Antonio Brown, the new Le'Veon Bell back there, I think Josh Jacobs takes it home. I think a running back is a good bet, a safe one.
I don't hate that one at all. I didn't even think about Jacobs just solely because of their offensive line. Now you're making me kind of like reconsider my position on this one. I think Arcega-Whiteside's going to have a good season. I believe Mecole Hardman's going to have a good season. There are plenty of names, but a name that just... he's in the perfect position right now to contribute immediately. N'Keal Harry in New England. I just think you lose Gronkowski. Your wide receiver core outside of Julian Edelman is a bunch of nobodies. He's going to step right into that offense perfectly. There was a reason that he was selected at 32 overall. And Belichick, he got his guy because he fits perfectly into that New England offense. He's going to fit into those 15 to 20 yard zone plays like Edelman does all day long. He's a lot better after the catch than Edelman is, in my opinion. And he should go on just some tears of games and really light it up. Because if Josh Gordon can reflect any athleticism and just open up the field for Edelman and N'Keal Harry, those guys should reap the rewards. Because it's going to be tough without Gronkowski there. It's going to be tough without guys like Chris Hogan, but N'Keal Harry should feel the fill the void and do it very, very quickly.
N'Keal Harry with for Geno's Offensive Rookie of the Year. I go with Josh Jacobs. On the defensive side, I went with a guy that me and you were very high on. I have Carolina making it all the way to the NFC Championship. A lot of that has to do with that front seven I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think rookie defensive end Brian Burns out of Florida State, the 16th overall pick, he was my number one overall pass rusher on the edge. You look at what he has to work with next to Gerald McCoy and Kaywan Short, Luke Kuechly behind him, Mario Addison on the other side, and Bruce Irvin. He's going to have opportunities to get to the quarterback this year, and he's been doing it all preseason long. I'm going with Brian Burns as Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I like that. I think the guy that I picked, it falls into the same aspect of the talent that he has around him and the depth they have at the defensive line position. I went with Josh Allen out of Jacksonville because
he's been so good.
Oh, and he's looked incredible, and two, he's just in the perfect situation there in Jacksonville. You have Calais Campbell still, you have Yannick Ngakoue. We can go on and on. That's the some of the front fours that we've mentioned, Lou, are just like unbelievable. Just to look at the depth, like we talk about the Eagles all the time, but you look around, there are five or six teams that are five, six guys deep all the way around the defensive line, and it just goes to show you that teams know that you have to have five to six guys that can get after the quarterback. We just touch on all of those teams that we said are going to make the playoffs. You can back them because they have good front fours and they have good offensive lines. They at least have decent offensive lines to get it done. And you see the strength. There's a reason that you win inside out, and you're just going to continue to see that. And I think Josh Allen, much like Brian Burns, they're not going to have to be the guy like they were in college. They're not going to be focused on as much. They're going to have one-on-one matchups, which they both should win because they're both athletic freaks. They both have great bend around the edge. They have great speed. They have great power. I think those guys could be within one sack of each other at the end of the year.
He was the other guy. I was kind of going back and forth between Josh Allen and Brian Burns. All right, we have one final award to get to here on Locked On Eagles. It's Comeback Player of the Year. You could argue guys like Cam Newton for sure, but Carson Wentz is a favorite.
Yeah,
can we just give
it to him? I don't even think we have to talk about this.
Yeah,
one.
He has been set up. Like, you can't have 10 weapons deep being picked as an MVP favorite and not. He's going to win Comeback Player of the Year for sure.
Without a doubt. Yeah,
especially if we have him getting to the Super Bowl.
Sort of the MVP race, but. Yeah. I don't think it's anything against him. I just think they're going to put it in the hands of the backs more to get touchdowns in the red zone because. Running the ball in the red zone, if you look at analytics, it's the way to go. The success rate in the red zone is very, very good, and they got a guy in Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard who they finally can just hand the ball off to, unlike Wendell Smallwood. But, man, Carson, by all rights, should have 40 touchdowns and 4,500 yards minimum.
Yeah, I think who are the other candidates you think? I mean, I know Cam Newton would probably be one. Le'Veon Bell, people say, but it's like, what is he coming back from? I mean, holding out voluntarily last year, so I don't know.
There's not as many candidates as you would look around the NFL to see, but yeah, I think Carson, he's the guy to lose it right now.
Maybe Odell Beckham? I don't know. There's not a lot of – I mean, and again, Wentz is a quarterback too, so that's always going to be in his favor too. All right, man, this was a fun, longer edition of the show, but we had to get all our predictions out, and I'm sure –
probably all going
to
be wrong. But.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sure we'll look back in May and we'll be like, what the hell were we talking about?
We probably sounded great at the time, and then we seem like idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Pat Mahomes breaks his leg or something ridiculous and throws everything out of whack. But let's hope that doesn't happen because we want to see good football players win big football games.
Absolutely. All right. That's a good way to end it. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Subscribe to the show if you're not already. 4 to 5 podcasts a week going into your phone, or you can check them out on lockdowneagles.com. And the conversation always continues on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and our show page at Locked On Birds. All right, that's going to do it for my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.